I'm Steve Potter, in for Don Marsh today, and welcome to St. Louis on the Air. Over the weekend, we heard about the North Korean government's claims of successfully completing the launch of a new ballistic missile. The launch, which was later confirmed by South Korea and the United States, reignited concerns about North Korea's possible development of nuclear weapons, which is banned by the United Nations Security Council. The news about North Korea's provocations is what we here in the United States usually hear from that country, but what we don't often learn about, the lives of people from North Korea. On Friday, St. Louis on the Air producer Kelly Moffitt spoke with Grace Jo, an American citizen who's a refugee from North Korea. Grace Jo was in Missouri last week to, among other things, help launch the Institute for Korean Studies at the University of Missouri in Columbia. Here's Kelly Moffitt.
There's a lot of talk right now about refugees in the United States, and the first thing that jumps to mind when Americans think of refugees is not North Korea. You yourself are a refugee from North Korea. What has that experience been like for you over the past couple weeks or months?
Especially as a refugee from North Korea, I think this is the very serious and hot topic to talk about the refugees issue these days. And I'm trying to keep up with the updates and what's the next move. But I feel very sad that if there's no more refugees coming into the United States, and especially for North Koreans, there's no other way for them to survive if we stop all those routes or opportunities for them to come into America. Well, there's also South Korean government. They are accepting refugees and trying to support them, but still, South Korean government is kind of overwhelmed to receive so many refugees from North Korea these days. So I was so happy and glad to be able to enter America, and we have another chance to live like a human being. But yeah, as you know, these days the U.S. government trying to stop the refugees coming to America. So I feel very sad these days. Yeah.
Now, your experience coming here was a lengthy one. You made it to the United States in 2008, but your journey started much earlier.
Yes, our journey started since 1998. My almost every family member passed away because of starvation and other issues in North Korea. Only except my mother and my older sister Jinhae survived. And then my mom took us to China, and we lived in China to resettle and live in China for 10 years. But unfortunately, in 10 years, we had to send back to North Korea many times. And each time we sent back, of course, we have to face so many challenges and difficulties, imprisonments, tortures, all those things what you can imagine.
What was life like in North Korea that made your family want to leave?
Actually, my mother, she made a choice for us because we were so young at the time. But as a woman, she lost her husband, mother, and her sons and daughters at the very short period. So I think for her, it must be very, very difficult to endure. But she did, and then at the end, after my grandmother and all younger brothers died, she said, well, if I don't do some action here, she will lose another remaining two daughters. So she make up her mind, and she made a choice. It was a very difficult choice for a woman, because back then, the North Korean government was very strict about the escapees, and once they find out, they will punish those individuals very seriously. So for my mom, maybe she was very scared about the choice, but still, for her remaining daughters, she did, and then she carried us all her entire life until today.
In the 90s, North Korea experienced a very devastating famine.
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of people died.
Yes.
Was that something that impacted your family?
Yes, I think our family is not an exception. I think myself also experienced that. About 10 days we had to starve straight. We only drank cold water. we have to bring all those water from the small stream of river next to our house. But we did that every day. But at the end of the 9th day or 10th day, we didn't have any strength to go to the river and get the water. So, yeah, I remember all those ongoing starvation. Even we had some small food that's like a potato skins that already dried and mashed. It became like a powder or grains. So we cooked that with other mountain natural vegetables. So that's the only food we can find. And if it's spring, summer, and fall, it's a little easier for us to live because we can get the natural vegetables from mountains and fruits. But winter was the most difficult season for us to endure. So during that time, so many village people also died. My sister's friends, they also died by starvation. And of course, my youngest brother and my younger brother also died because of the starvation.
Do you remember your first conversations with your mother or siblings about the idea of leaving the country? And what was that like?
First time when we escaped was I was 6 and a half, almost 7 years old. And I totally don't know where we're going and what we are doing. But while we are living in China, of course, a lot of separation, like torture and imprisonment. So we didn't have enough chance to talk about all those things. But after we come to America, when we live in Seattle, Washington, and Alaska, finally we found the freedom. And now it's time to talk about all those things. So my mom and I, after school, of course, we talked about this life stories. And then she told me her young life, early life stories, family situations, and how she made the choices and how difficult her life was. So when I hear that, it's very amazing to hear that too. Since this is my family story, but it's more deeply understand a North Korean woman in the third part. So I think it was very meaningful for me to talk about all those things with her.
When you found out that you were going to come to the United States, how did that process work?
For that part, we have to go back to 2004. There's a lot of stories before then, but my family, which is my sister, my mother, and I, finally got reunited in 2004, and we were able to live in Qingdao, China. And then at that time, I think it was early 2004 or late 2003, and then we were so lucky enough to meet a Korean-American missionary. His name was John Yun, and still he lives in Seattle, Washington right now. One day in 2004, he brought a Korean newspaper from America, and he showed us the article, and my mom read it. And then the article was mentioning about America passed North Korean Human Rights Act in 2004 by George W. Bush, president. And then he also explains that, it means it is possible for us to go to America instead of South Korea. And then he want my mom to think about it. What do we think? And then my mom was thinking about a few minutes, and then she changed her mind. She wanted to come to America instead of South Korea.
Now that you're here, you're vice president of NK in USA, which
yes.
helps North Korean refugees in the United States. What do you do with that organization, and what have you heard from people who've been in a similar situation like you have?
I don't think I am doing enough in this organization, but my sister, she formed this organization in 2011. She had a very big heart in the beginning because we saw so many women were in the prison, and they shared a lot of stories with us. And we just cannot forget all those people, and we cannot take them out from our mind. So that's why she did about 15 days of hunger strike in front of Washington, D.C. Chinese embassy in 2008. And then that was the beginning of her new life in America. And since then, a lot of churches and communities trying to ask her to go and speak and share the stories. That's how I think it started for North Korean human rights activities around in Virginia and Washington, D.C. Well, I'm sure a lot of human rights activists, they did a lot of work in the beginning, like 2001 or 2, but still 2008 was very big turning point for our family. So since then, organization was run by my sister, Jin-hae. She was helping North Korean defectors individually in the beginning, but she wanted to do something more. And she want to help more people with a little bigger scale. So that's how we ask the people around us, trying to get help and expand the programs. But now we mostly, we are focusing on refugee rescue, refugee resettlement, and raising awareness in America. But I think Jin-hae and I, both of us, we are still in the process of learning the new culture and new American life. So for legal parts, all those like nicely written papers, all those things are helped by our supporters, volunteers, and great staff members in our organization. So that's how we can do all those works. And I think as former North Korean defectors, what we can do is we're trying to tell our own life stories to people and trying to ask more intelligent people to come up with a great idea and trying to help North Korean people. So I think that's all we are doing right now. But for a future plan, we trying to do something more great and more impactful on those three subjects. So we're trying to expand the refugee resettlement program and also expand refugee rescues too, if it's possible.
That's Grace Jo, a North Korean refugee, speaking with producer Kelly Moffitt. More of the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And now back to producer Kelly Moffitt's conversation with Grace Jo, who visited the University of Missouri and Washington University last week. Grace Jo is the vice president of an organization called NKNUSA, which helps North Korean refugees resettle in the United States and tries to promote human rights in that country.
There are about 214 North Korean refugees who've been resettled in the United States.
Yes.
How many has your organization been helping?
I think NKNUSA rescued about 83 North Korean defectors, but most of them sent to South Korea. And two of them are in America right now, and they are attending colleges, and two girls. They are starting their new life here. So they are doing a great job. And also, there's about several cases that we helped with the legal issues. Also, there's several cases for emergency base. For example, one family needed emergency for taking care of medical part, housing part, all those complicated issues. We had to drive there and trying to solve issues for them and trying to connect to people around them as well. So that's what we are doing. And I think for number, I don't have exact number for in front of me right now, but I'm not sure, maybe 20, a little more than 20 cases for resettlement. Yeah, I think most North Koreans, they are doing very hard work and trying to do everything by themselves. So they are struggling, but also they are working hard, study hard. So not big issues came up so far yet.
Yeah. How do you get connected with these people who are choosing to defect? Is it after they've left the country and they're in China? Is it by the time they've made it to South Korea already? How do you get connected?
Yes, I think mostly my sister is in charging for the rescue issue, because for rescuing mission, we also sometimes need to choose whether that's really true or not. So she's really very good at this. So she's in charging of that department. But to answer your question, I think in the beginning, we got contacted by those family members in South Korea. They raised the money and trying to help their family members and rescue their members, but they don't have enough money or they cannot find people in China. Then they contact my sister and trying to get a help. So that's the beginning. And now we have several brokers we work together. So those brokers, when they have list of North Korean defectors, they will send it to us. And then because we don't have enough resources, so we cannot rescue all the refugees on our list, but also we train to rescue all those emergency base. So whoever is urgent in China, we trying to send them money, whatever the broker needs, and then trying to rescue them first. So right now we are getting all those information through the brokers, and of course sometimes through family members in South Korea or in America too.
You've been in Missouri this week at the University of Missouri Columbia for the unveiling of the Institute for Korean Studies, which is a project of Professor Sheena Greitens and Harrison Kim. And you've also been at WashU in St. Louis. What has surprised you, you know, about talking to people here in Missouri about your experience?
Yes, first of all, University of Missouri event went out wonderfully and perfectly and amazingly done. So I feel very happy for them, and I feel very honored to be able to go there and share my story. And I think Professor Sheena Greitens was wonderful lady and hardworking person. And I also saw many people out there doing this great work. So I feel like in Missouri State, since I never been here, it was very surprising that many people actually are interested about North Korean human rights. So that's what I felt, and I feel very appreciated to their interest and their hard work, and I hope they can expand more works for North Korean human rights in the future. And also WashU too. Today many young people came to class, and then they asked many wonderful questions too. But it's very amazing that in the state of Missouri and St. Louis, there's many people they also interested about North Korean human rights. They're willing to hear and they're willing to do something for them. So I think that's very good start. So I feel very happy and appreciated.
Do you know if there's any refugees who've been resettled in Missouri from North Korea?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of North Koreans came from South Korea in many different states, but directly, not many of them in Missouri State yet.
Now, we spoke a little bit about, you know, the current administration's views on refugees and immigration. What would you hope to see, you know, change in the next couple of years about United States' attitude towards North Korea, towards defectors from North Korea?
Oh, I'm afraid if I answer wrong on this topic, because this is a very huge topic these days. But one thing I hope is the new president, Donald Trump, can come up with a very great idea to accept some of the North Korean refugees. Well, even it's not new president today, since 2004, there's only about 200 12 or 14 North Korean refugees entered the United States. So it was very small amount if we compare with other refugees from the world. So I think if we completely close those refugee routes to USA, then I think for North Koreans, there's a zero option. So I hope he can leave a little option open, give us another chance. I hope that will be a very, very big help for North Korean refugees in the future.
What do you think has changed most when you were growing up and learned about the United States and what you thought about the country versus, you know, how your experience has been here now and how you think about the country? And now we should say you are an American citizen, being an American.
I left my country when I was 6.5 or 7 years old. So before I went to school in North Korea, I left to China. So I didn't get any formal education from my country. But however, a lot of adults, they told me what this North Korean regime teaches. And my mom also told me too. So in North Korea, they teach like Christians are the first people we have to avoid. And the Americans, if we see them, we have to try to kill them. And because they are such a bad people, and then they are our enemies. All those kind of negative words we heard when we were a small child. But of course, in China, we can see all those foreign movies, like American movies. We can see all those fancy tables, restaurants, and with the, you know, nice suits and dresses. So we can see, oh, okay, so America, maybe that's really fancy and wealthy country. That's our thoughts. But after I came to America, actually, there's good and bad, and, you know, like a lot of things. But still, I can think like, American people first is not that bad. They are very kind, and they're willing to listen to us. They're willing to open heart to help us. And if I ask a question on the street, if I can find it or I got lost, they always kindly direct me, or sometimes some people, they take me to the right direction. So I feel very appreciated every time I got help from them. So I think Americans are very sweetheart and very nice people. So it's totally opposite as we hear when we were little. So I think as North Korean American, I should say, this is the wonderful country I can leave. This is a totally different country as my country. So I hope my country can become like this country one day too.
That's American citizen and North Korean refugee Grace Jo talking with producer Kelly Moffitt. Grace Jo was in Missouri last week, in Columbia, and in St. Louis to, among other things, help launch the Institute for Korean Studies at the University of Missouri. She's also the vice president of an organization called NK in the USA, which helps North Korean refugees settle in the United States. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.